translation. If you are indeed interested in... Let me read the other one again. Logicians say, unless one gains understanding through logic and argument, how can one decide upon a worshipable deity? That's text 14, text 15. If you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in this connection that people in general, in their narrow-minded conception of life, create many different types of humanitarian activities. But the humanitarian activities inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are different. For logicians who want to accept only that which is proven through logic and argument, it is a fact that without logic and reason, there can be no question of accepting the truth. Unfortunately, with such logicians taken to this path without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they remain on the platform of logic and argument and do not advance in spiritual life. However, if one is intelligent enough to apply his arguments and logic to the subtle understanding of the fundamental spiritual substance, he will be able to know that the poor fund of knowledge established on the basis of material logic cannot help one understand the absolute truth, which is beyond the reach of imperfect senses. The Mahabharata therefore says, Achintya kaloye bhava natam starakayate. Mahabharata Bhishma Puran 5:22. How can that which is beyond the imagination or sensory speculation of mundane creatures be approached simply by logic? Logic and argument are very poor in spiritual strength and always imperfect when applied to spiritual understanding. By putting forward mundane logic, one frequently comes to wrong conclusion regarding the absolute truth. And as a result of such conclusion, we may fall down to accept the body like of a jackal. Despite all this, those who are actually inquisitive to understand the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through logic and argument are welcome. Krishnadas, Kaviraj, Goswami addresses them, please put Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to your crucial test, and if you are actually a logician, you will come to the right conclusion, and there is no personality more merciful than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let the logicians compare all the results of other humanitarian work with the merciful activities of Lord Chaitanya. If their judgment is impartial, they will understand that no humanitarian activities can surpass those of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone is engaged in humanitarian activities on the basis of the body. But from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 18, we can understand Antavantara Antavantara imedehi nitya shokatosharinaha. The material body is ultimately subject to destruction, whereas the spiritual soul is eternal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philanthropical activities are performed in connection with the eternal soul. However, one tries to benefit the body, it will be destroyed. One will have to accept another body according to his present activities. If one does not therefore understand the science of transmigration but considers the body to be all in all, his intelligence is not very advanced. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without neglecting the necessities of the body, imparted spiritual advancement to purify the existing conditions of humanity. Therefore, if the logician makes judgment impartial, he will surely find that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahavadanyaya Avatar, the most magnanimous incarnation. He is even more magnanimous than Lord Sri Krishna himself. Lord Krishna demanded that one surrender unto him, but he did not distribute love of Godhead as magnanimously as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami offers Lord Chaitanya his respectful obeisances with the word Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gora Tizve Namaha. Lord Krishna simply gave Bhagavad Gita, by which one can understand Lord Krishna as he is. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is also Krishna himself, gave people love of Krishna without discrimination. If you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find that it will be strikingly wonderful. Om Jnanati Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jaina Tasmashi Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvesesa Sunyavadi Prastachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Kurati Vachalam Pangalangitam Girim Jat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. So taking the blessings of the devotees, senior devotees, that I can say a few words. Vancha kalpa tribhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So here we are continuing the understanding how important Lord Chaitanya is in the aspect of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna Das Kaviraj is explaining that sometimes just by logic and reason one cannot understand Lord Chaitanya. Although sometimes we can use a little bit of logic, we can use a reasoning to try and understand absolute truth. But here Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying sometimes the subtleties, the glories of Mahaprabhu can be easily lost. So one has to try and understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not just through logic, not through reason, but one has to understand Lord Chaitanya through the aspect of bhakti. So this is the main way to understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very, very important factor in understanding our Krishna consciousness. So Krishna Das Kaviraj is explaining the importance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's a very, very powerful statement by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta about the importance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I will read a little bit about that so that we can have a little bit of understanding of who Lord Chaitanya and what he represents. It's a very, very famous speech that Bhaktisiddhanta spoke, and he was speaking to one of the leaders of the independent movement. So Bhaktisiddhanta was gathering many, many followers. He was a very, very powerful preacher, and under the banner of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was attracting many, many intelligent people. So at the same time, there was this independent movement known as Swaraj that was also starting to start. And these followers of this Swaraj movement was wondering why this Bhaktisiddhanta was starting this separatist movement. So they went to see him and they tried to see if they can join the two movements together. So on the one side you had the Swaraj movement who wanted independence from the British. And then there was Lord Chaitanya's revolutionary movement who was propagating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does anyone know this famous speech that Bhaktisiddhanta gave? You'll probably remember as soon as I read it. There has not been and there will never be such benefactors as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees have been. The offer of other benefits Whereas the offer of other benefits is only a deception. So in connection to this verse over here, Prabhupada is talking a lot about this philanthropic work. So here, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is pointing out that the offer of other work, mainly this independent movement, this political movement, is only a deception and it's not the real goal. So then Bhaktisiddhanta further goes and he states, it is rather a great harm. Why would you think it's a great harm? Why would this independent Swaraj movement be a great harm? Because it puts us on the bodily concept of life. And when we identify ourselves with this body, that's when the real suffering comes. And that's when we try to make these borders, that this is my country, this is your country, I want you out of my country, then we have these visa restrictions, whatever. But ultimately, if we go beyond this skin and this body, this movement of Mahaprabhu, then we don't have to worry about this independent movement. We don't have to worry who is ruling or who is not ruling, because the real important aspect is this Krishna consciousness. So Bhaktisiddhanta is saying it's actually a great harm, these other activities that are enunciated by other people. So then he further goes to say, whereas the benefit which is done by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers is the trusted and the greatest eternal benefit. Why? Because it goes beyond the bodily concept of life and it goes to the real point, which is the Atma, which is the soul. So the purpose of all these other activities is that we all want to have some kind of happiness. We want to be happy in life, isn't it? If you think about the material world, if you just look up the concept of the material world, the prime factor of what drives the world around is to be happy. You just have to go down the streets and see different shops, buy this, get the latest that, you'll be happy. You go on a holiday over here, you'll be happy. There's this, in New York, there's this one massive big billboard in New York, and it shows you paradise of the Bahamas with the nice sea, turquoise waters, palm trees, someone drinking the coconut water, and it says, escape from the city life, go to paradise. And then when you go to Bahamas, there's a big billboard over there of New York skyscrapers. Are you fed up of the beaches? Are you fed up of coconut water? Go to city life. That's where real happiness is. So nobody knows what real happiness is. Everyone thinks it's in the Bahamas, and those people in Bahamas think it's in New York. So this is a misunderstanding of what real happiness is, because it's all related to the body. Whereas Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers are actually trying to go to the real point, which is the soul. Then, excuse me, I can't see properly, you have to excuse me. Okay, so then he says the greatest benefit, that is not the benefit lasting only a few days, being only a timely benefit. So the idea is that Bhaktisiddhanta is saying that this movement of Swaraj is going to be a temporary situation, because at one point the Mughals were ruling it. Another point the Rajas were ruling it. At that particular point the British were ruling it. And then who knows what's going to happen down the road. All these different situations are only temporary. They're always constantly changing. Have you ever seen anything to be constant? Things are changing. Even the school textbooks are changing. What I've learned in school, and sometimes my kids, when they used to come, hey, Dad, can you help me with the homework? Can I look at it? Well, I didn't learn anything about this. It's all changed. So material things are constantly changing. Leaders are coming. Leaders are going. Politicians, Tony Blair was so popular, but now nobody likes him. He's an anti-hero. So this is the very nature of material activities. It's very, very temporary. Whereas the benefit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhaktisiddhanta saying is eternal. Okay, we'll carry on. His lordship or his followers did not delude people by speaking of such benefits that would offer a short time, produce harm by which some other party would be harmed. Just as the benefit of one country connotes mischief to another. Just as when I am benefited by driving in a coach, the horses are harmed. Had when I given an advantage for a time being, I suffer appropriate disadvantage. They have spoken of such benefit, they have given such a thing as the highest benefit for all times, for all conditions. This benefit is not for a particular country causing mischief to another, but it benefits the whole universe. Mahaprabhu's benefit does not produce any evil. For this, from his grace, no evil arises. For this, again, his is his highest benevolence. So are his devotees too. These statements are the highest truth, not mere gossip, nor imaginative poetry or literature. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is speaking quite strongly and very profound about welfare work. So there's so much different types of welfare work that goes on in this world. People are opening so many schools, many people are opening different hospitals. There's a saying in India, Madhava Seva is Manava Seva. So it means that if you do good welfare work to the humans, then it's the same as Bhagavan. It is all one, do not worry. But actually it is not, because the welfare work that is carried out for the body, it's only temporary. Because you can feed somebody, then after a while what's going to happen? He's going to be hungry. Of course, we shouldn't neglect the body, because Bhaktisiddhanta did say in his statement that we do have to look after the body. So don't misunderstand me. It is important we do look after the body. But we have to go beyond the body and understand that the situation with the body is a very, very temporary situation. But what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering is something eternal. And this is what he did with his followers. He traveled all over South India and he met Mayavadis and he converted them. And the greatest Mayavadi he converted was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he was one of the most profound scholars. He was known as Digvijay, that he was a great scholar. And in connection to this, because he was trying to understand Vedanta through reason and logic. So when he saw Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, when Lord Chaitanya came to Jagannath Puri, when Lord Chaitanya entered the Jagannath temple, he saw Lord Jagannath, and then he fainted in ecstasy seeing the Lord. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, and some of the guards, they thought that Mahaprabhu was a madman because he was crying. He just fainted there. So then they wanted to just drag him and beat him. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could recognize that some symptoms are here are quite genuine. So he took Mahaprabhu to his house. And he saw that Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, a very young sannyasi at that. Because sannyas usually comes at the end of one's life. So Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas at the age of 24. So Sarvabhauma was a little bit of an older gentleman. So he was a little astonished to see this young person in the garb of a sannyasi. So then he took it upon himself to instruct Lord Chaitanya. And for 7 days continuously, he instructed Lord Chaitanya about the Vedanta through reason and logic and everything like that. And Lord Chaitanya very quietly listened patiently. He didn't ask any questions. Then after 7 days, Sarvabhauma was wondering, how come he's not saying anything? How come he's not asking any question? generally when a student is there, they want to ask some questions. And then Sarvabhauma asked, are you not understanding the Vedanta Sutra? Are you not understanding what I am saying? Then Mahaprabhu said, yes, I understand perfectly, but I don't understand your understanding. And Sarvabhauma was shocked, because no one dared challenged him, because he could just defeat everyone. He didn't get to that position without actually defeating so many other scholars. So when Lord Chaitanya said this to him, it came as a surprise to him. So then he says, what do you mean? So then Lord Chaitanya, in a very, very nice way, he explained what the real purport of Vedanta Sutra is. And then Sarvabhauma is said to be so stunned by the explanation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he just stood there. He didn't move. He just stayed there, hour upon hour upon hour. And even the whole night, he says, he just stayed there. And then he was so stunned that he realized his mistake. Then he surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is explained here by Krishna Das Kaviraj that if you actually try to understand through proper reason and logic, you will come to the conclusion who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled, he met Mayavadis, he met Tattvavadis, he met Buddhists, and wherever he went, he explained the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and in this way they became converted. But the real mission of Mahaprabhu wasn't just to convert the Mayavadis, but to spread this Sankirtan movement. This was the real welfare that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to do. Because here it says that when Krishna came, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, and he was very, very heavy, Krishna. When you think about it, he said, abandon everything. Can you imagine that? Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. And generally when we come to the word surrender, it's actually not an easy thing to surrender to somebody. It means you accept them as their master. And whatever statements they make, whatever they want, you have to listen. So people were not ready to surrender. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he showed how we can surrender. He showed how we can become devotees of Krishna. And he started to propagate this chanting, this Sankirtan movement of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it started first at the house of Shiva's Thakur. And the devotees would gather there, and then they would have kirtans throughout the night. And they would be chanting and chanting and chanting. And at this time, it was a very, very intimate kirtan, and devotees were welcomed there only by invitation. And sometimes people wanted to come, but they couldn't come. It was only like a closed circuit. So the Sankirtan movement at that point was only at the house of Shiva's Thakur. So people were hearing rumors what was going on inside there. It's a human nature curiosity. What's going on over there? Because everyone seems to be very happy chanting. So then, one day, Lord Chaitanya, he said, a great personality has come to Navadvip. And I want you to go and find him and bring him here. So then the devotees of Mahaprabhu, they went around Navadvip. They went to look for this great personality. They looked here. They looked over there. They couldn't find anyone. And then they came and they reported to Mahaprabhu, we were looking for this great personality you're talking about. We couldn't find him. We looked everywhere. And then Mahaprabhu said, you don't have the eyes to see him. Did you not see anyone? And then we kind of saw this strange looking person. He had like a disheveled kind of hair, and he acted a little bit like a madman. He was walking around in his kopans. Surely you didn't meet that person, did you? And Mahaprabhu said, do not judge. And then Mahaprabhu went to this person, and this person was none other than Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And then when Lord Chaitanya saw Lord Nityananda, he was in so much ecstasy. He was so much in happiness that he fainted. Lord Nityananda fainted. The devotees have never seen Mahaprabhu in this condition. They've seen him in ecstasy in the kirtans. They've seen him exhibit transcendental qualities. But when he came in contact with this person who they've never seen before, they could not understand who he was and why the Lord was feeling like this. Then again, they both regained consciousness, and immediately they embraced and they were crying and laughing. So then Lord Chaitanya explained that this is Lord Nityananda. He is my older brother. And together we have come to propagate this chanting of the Hare Krishna movement. And then after that, that's when Lord Chaitanya took the movement outside the house of Shiva's Thakur, and he went. And then we have this very, very nice description that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in one of the songs, Udilo Aruna Purababhage Dvijamane Gorudvi. So here it says that Lord Gauranga, he would wake up and he would take all his followers and his golden body shimmering like the sun. He would take all the devotees and they would go through the streets of Navadvip and they would chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in this way they started the Sankirtan movement. And then from there they would go to different places. And from Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gonitai ki. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya, he would travel everywhere. And wherever the Lord went, hundreds and thousands of people would come and see Lord Chaitanya as he would perform his Sankirtan. There were so many people who would be attracted to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So this was the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, to try and help us achieve love of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya himself is actually Krishna Prema. So although he's giving Krishna Prema, in the real understanding, he is Krishna Prema himself, and that is why he can give that Krishna Prema. Because he came to distribute this Krishna Prema to everyone. So for us, it is very, very important that if we really want to understand Krishna, if we really want to be Krishna conscious, we can only do it through the mercy of Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Narottam Das Thakur has written many, many nice songs, and he's saying there in some of his songs that it's only through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one can actually obtain Krishna. Because there are some people who worship Krishna, there's some people who worship Vishnu, but they don't necessarily accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They don't see that Mahaprabhu is somebody very, very special. But for those people who try to obtain God or Krishna, it is not really possible. It's actually a little delusion or misconception. Because the Yuga avatar is Lord Chaitanya, and that is why he has come to give us this. And it's not easy for everyone to take. Once Bhaktisiddhanta, he was asked if these teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so important, then why is it not everyone is taking to it? Why is it not that your whole temples are filled with so many people? He said, this gem, these teachings of Lord Chaitanya is so rare that only those with the proper understanding will able to accept it. The mass of people will not understand it. And Krishna also says there in the Bhagavad Gita, Manusha Janma, it's only those very, very few rare persons that will able to understand what Krishna consciousness is. And then in those gathering of people who try to understand Krishna consciousness, some will try to attain Krishna. But even if you filter it even more, it's only those who are the followers of Mahaprabhu have the real understanding of what Krishna consciousness is. So although it's like a quite a bold statement, although it's quite strong what we're saying, but Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying that if you try to understand and study Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what he represents, then you will come to a striking wonder of who he actually is, what he actually represents, and what is the purpose of his appearance. So Gopanim is coming up very, very soon. We're very, very fortunate that Lord Chaitanya, he only comes once in the day of Lord Brahma. That's how rare Lord Chaitanya is. So we have like 100 years of Lord Brahma. And as you all know, this is such a long time. And then in that one day of Brahma, there's so many yugas, Divya Yugas. And then in this one Yuga, this very particular one that we're in, this is where Lord Chaitanya has appeared. So we should take advantage of this situation. We should try and understand the importance of how Lord Chaitanya plays in our lives by trying to understand what his philosophy is, what he represents. And the philosophy he represents is Bhakti Yoga. There are many different types of yogas. There's many different ways one can try and achieve perfection. But the highest perfection one can try and achieve is Bhakti Yoga. And that is the teachings of Mahaprabhu. Sometimes Mahaprabhu's followers are criticized that all you're just interested in is just bhakti, bhakti, Krishna, Krishna, and nothing else. There's other aspects to life as well. There's other kind of things that can be done in society. But the point is, there are people doing other aspects of society. There are other people who are doing things for the body. But there's very, very few people on this planet who are actually addressing the real need of what the soul is. Because the soul by nature is spiritual, and if you don't give it spiritual activities, it won't be really happy. As we know, when you take the fish out of water, no matter what you give the fish, a nice car, give it a nice Rolex watch, you give it whatever it wants, will the fish be happy? No. Why? Because it just wants to be in its constitutional position, which is to be in the water. And then it'll be happy. So the jivas, when we're out of our constitutional position, when we have separated our interest from serving God, then that's when our suffering comes. Then that's when our troubles in our life come. We're all inflicted by so much troubles in our life. We're all inflicted by so much suffering. But this is only due to our identification of this material body. And although we keep on emphasizing this again and again and again, it is not very easy for us to actually have vigyan of this understanding. We can have gyan, we can talk about it, We can give lectures about it, but to have vigyan about that we are not these bodies, then that needs much more deeper understanding, and that can only truly be achieved by the process of bhakti. And then if one engages in those process of bhakti, then one's dormant love for God comes. And what is that process of bhakti? Sharanam Kirtanam Vishnu. So this is the process that one can perform. There's 9 different types of processes. And by performing these different processes, then one will get some genuine taste. And then when one has that taste, that ruchi, then one will find real happiness. So at the beginning, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, I remember when I kind of was first initiated as a Brahmin, then when I first went and touched the deities, when I first performed seva for the deities, I felt some real spiritual ecstasy, some real genuine happiness. And for many days I felt such happiness performing these duties, serving the deities. So that happiness was a little taste that was given to me. So then at the beginning, when we first come, we get a little kind of a turbo boost, a little shot. If you like have a flu, sometimes you get the boost of a flu injection to try and help us get the taste. So then sometimes after a little while, after performing some of the devotional services, sometimes we get a little bit kind of complacent. I know I'm talking for myself. But we have to always be alert. Because this spiritual life is like a razor's edge. Because the moment we slack, the moment we give way and deviate slightly, then we get cut. Just like when someone is flying a plane and the pilot has to make a certain calculations, and then it'll go from A destination to B destination. But it is said that if the pilot just makes 1 degree of miscalculation on the flight of the plane, then it'll end up quite far away. So although at the beginning we have the right understanding, we might have the right intentions, we have to be very, very alert. We have to be very, very careful, because the thing that's going to kill spiritual life is complacency. Because I remember, you know, when I first joined, there was a distinction when somebody left, and it was called blooped. So somebody joined and then they would bloop and they would leave, and then you know that said they're finished. And then, but nowadays there's another sense of blooping that can happen in my limited realization, is that you can be still carrying on some of your practices. You can be still even wearing the Kanti Mala. You can even have a Shika. And you may be seemingly still be performing devotional service. But if we don't have that right understanding of how important this is, then as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, that it becomes like a parrot fashion. And then it becomes just like chanting like a parrot. And we've seen sometimes, maybe you might have seen some of these old japa videos that we used to make, the jibba japa, snik snik snik, ari 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 ari, ram ari, ram ram ram, dive bomb japa, raida japa, all these different types of chanting that we do. It's not the real chanting. You know, sometimes when we chant, we miss some of the mantras out, or some of the syllables. Sometimes we add too many. So So then one bhakta was adding too many Krishnas. Krishna, 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 Hari, Hari, Ram. And then the bhakta leader said, you're chanting too many Krishnas. Then he goes, what's wrong with chanting too many Krishnas? Shouldn't be any problem. But the point is, it has to be the right amount. Because if you take the wrong medicine, it will not have the right effect. So if you see all this medicine and you think, this medicine says three times every day. But hell, let me just take all of them now and it'll just cure me. It doesn't, you have to do it appropriate according to how it's meant to be administered. So Krishna consciousness is like that. So, although we perform our duties, we have to make sure that when we perform our duties, it's not just a duty. It's not just like, oh yeah, just doing the run of the mill. We have to make sure that there's actually some strong feelings of emotions involved in our service. Because if you translate bhakti, it actually means emotions. So if there's no emotions involved in trying to perform our bhakti or performing our sadhana, then it'll be like the boat, the wedding party. You know the wedding party? So the wedding party got married and they were very, very happy, and then they just went on the boat and they were going down the Ganga. It was late at night and the boatwala was rowing and he was rowing, and the time passed on, the hour went by, and then it came the morning and the couple thought they had reached their destination, their honeymoon. But when they looked, they realized they were still in the same position. They hadn't moved one inch. And what was the problem? The boatman forgot to take the anchor out. So we have to make sure that in our Krishna consciousness, hope I'm not upsetting anyone, that we lift the anchor out properly. We don't just drag it across. We actually lift it up properly. And then, as Prabhupada said, if you give this one life to Krishna, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you will obtain perfection. For many, many lifetimes, although we might not remember, we have tried serving our senses. We've tried to enjoy the material world. But it becomes all frustrated. We become baffled by it. So now we come to this rare opportunity. So very, very little devotees are there. So very, very Vaishnavas are there. So we have to make the best use of this important knowledge. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted it, para upakar, we need to give it to others. And that is the fundamental principle of Mahaprabhu, that we have to give it to others. If we don't, then we have a little misunderstanding of what Lord Chaitanya's movement is all about. And then Lord Chaitanya's, one of his greatest followers, Srila Prabhupada, he came and he gave us the tools whereby which we can try and fulfill the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we do that, once Srila Prabhupada said to Tripurari Maharaj, he said that if you're distributing books sincerely, if you turn around, you will see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda next to you. So although we read stories that, you know, Lord Chaitanya appeared or Krishna appeared, it can still happen even in our own kind of experiences. So many devotees have had experiences. When you speak to devotees, they've had Krishna in the dream. I've had Prabhupada in my dream. I've had Lord Chaitanya, all sorts of different things. So this is not a dry understanding of life. This is not a dry philosophy. In the early days, we used to say chanting, dancing, and feasting. So this is the movement of Mahaprabhu. We like chanting. Everyone was so happy in Kirtan. We like dancing. We like to dance. We dance for the pleasure of the deities. And then Prabhupada would say, then after dancing and chanting, you get a little tired, then you go for a bit of feasting, which is what's on everyone's mind. So, in conclusion, to what the purport and the translation is, that, as Bhaktisiddhanta said, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very, very important in our Krishna consciousness, and we have to try and imbibe his Sankirtan movement, which is the spreading of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And as you chant sincerely, as you pray sincerely, because Krishna is a person, then you'll see your bhakti lata bija grow, and it'll grow, and it'll grow. And then no matter what life throws at us, sometimes, you know, we're happy, sometimes we're not happy, but if we understand and see things through the eyes of Krishna consciousness, then we understand these things are always going to be there in the material world. Sometimes we try to negate some of those difficulties. Sometimes we try to eradicate troubles. But the very nature of the material world is suffering. There's like a constant line. You know, you have that flat line in the middle. There's constant suffering, constant suffering, constant suffering. So at a certain point, the suffering becomes a little less. And when the suffering becomes a little less, we think we are happy. But actually, it's just that suffering is erased a little bit. Then, boop, 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 it goes back again, suffering. But one who is transcendental, one who understands, no matter what situation he's in, then he will be very, very happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Okay, any points, comments, complaints?